halfway through this journey that we're calling Welcome Holy Spirit. And we're recognizing the fact that as believers in the Lord Jesus, when we came to the Lord and confessed our need of Him, that He gave us His Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells within us. But we have to understand that the presence of the Holy Spirit is not just there to give us the assurance of life beyond the grave. The Holy Spirit is in us to serve us daily and to lead us daily and to empower us daily to do the work of the kingdom of God and to transform our lives into the image of Jesus. And for so many of us, I think we've accepted less than what God has for us. We've not allowed the Holy Spirit to have His way as He wants to in our lives on a daily basis. And so the message is, welcome, Holy Spirit. We are welcoming the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and lives and have His way every day in our lives. So let's start together again. John chapter 14, and I think we've read all of these verses before at some point or another, probably in an introduction previously. But let's start again in John 14, verses 16 and 17. Again, the last night of His life on earth before He is crucified, He is preparing His disciples for His departure. And He's letting them know that even though He's going to be leaving, there's another one just like Him who is going to be coming. And they are to receive Him. And it says this in John chapter 14, verse 16, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. Now look down at verse 26. We've read this one as well. But the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit is ultimately our teacher. I can stand here and spew all kind of words, but if the Holy Spirit doesn't inspire those words or put His blessing and anointing on those words, they don't really teach us anything or do anything to change our lives. It's the Holy Spirit who's going to work in you and teach you in order to change your life. He says, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And then look over at John 16, one verse there. Verse 13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. He will speak. He will speak. The Holy Spirit speaks, brother and sister. We're talking about listening to the Holy Spirit this morning. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. Let's pray together. Father, as we continue this Bible study on the person and work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers today, I pray that You would help me to speak the truth with simplicity and truthfulness, but also with authority and power. And Holy Spirit, we do pray today that You would take these words and You would reveal the truth to each of our hearts. You would help us to understand who You are and what it is You want to be doing in our lives in this season. We make a commitment right now, Heavenly Father, to do whatever You say in this service. We commit that to You. And so we ask You to speak to our hearts, and we trust You for revealing truth to us in this hour through Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. So again, this is about a fifth or sixth session. We've got several more to go. Today, I want to turn the page just a little bit. Instead of talking about the Holy Spirit and His fruit and all the kind of things we've been talking about for several weeks up to this point, I want to talk this morning and probably next week as well. I want to talk about gaining a sensitivity to the voice of the Holy Spirit and learning how to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit does want to speak to each and every one of us. I'm convinced He does. And in all probability, all likelihood, you've heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. You may not have identified it as such when you heard it. But I guarantee you've heard it. Let me give you just a real quick example. I've shared many times before, but in my testimony as a young child, at the direction of my father, reading my Bible, and as a young child opening to Genesis chapter 1 and reading the scriptures, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And just in reading those words on one particular day, I just had a sense, and listen, I would not have put it in these terms back then. Back then, all I knew was, God is real, the Bible is His Word. Now I recognize that sensing that I was experiencing was in fact the Holy Spirit prompting me and teaching me truth about our God, see. So we can hear the Holy Spirit and not even realize it at really any point of our lives. But there are a lot of things that get in the way of life sometimes and get in the way of our relationship with the Holy Spirit and keep us from hearing His voice. Sometimes it's just an attack of the enemy and things just get so chaotic in life that that still small voice of the Holy Spirit just gets drowned out. A lot of times sin in our lives and we choose to do the wrong things. And I'll show you as we go through here today. Every time that we choose sin over righteousness, we make it a little harder to hear the voice of God. Today, Hebrews tells us two or three times, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Because if you harden your heart against the voice of God and don't obey what He says, the next time He tries to speak to you, it's a little harder to hear. Because we've gotten used to hearing that voice that's tempting us and drawing us toward the flesh, drawing us toward sin. And I suspect you know this as well as I do. Anytime you choose that voice of the flesh and you choose the path of sin, maybe the first time you make that, whatever it is, maybe the first time that you make that choice to deny that voice and do the thing that you know is wrong, maybe the first time, you know, you felt something on the inside, I shouldn't be doing this, but you did it anyway. And then the next time you get tempted to do that same thing, you might hear that voice a little bit, but it's probably a little quieter now. And it becomes easier. Every time you sin without repentance, it becomes easier to sin the next time. Your heart becomes a little harder. His voice becomes a little harder to discern until you get to the point where you just instinctively do the wrong thing and ignore God completely. And you can't hear the voice of the Spirit of God. So, I want to share some things with you, and this morning is just going to be an introduction, okay? I just want to introduce a lesson to you, some tips that I want to share with you to help us to discern whether the voice that we're hearing is the voice of the Holy Spirit. The enemy can come in, sin can come in, circumstances can come in. Let me tell you something else that can come in. I shared this with you, I think, last week or the week before. Your greatest enemy is really not the devil, because Jesus has already dealt with the devil at the cross. His power has been broken. His authority has been taken from him. And our greatest enemy today is actually us. Our sinful human nature that just continues to want to go the wrong way and do the wrong thing. And it's why Jesus said we must take up our cross daily to follow him. Every day we've got to put that flesh to death in order to choose the life of God and to go the way of the Lord, okay? And so it's a constant struggle. But listen, flesh, we use the term flesh typically to talk about sinful things. But flesh can be just selfish things as well. Somebody says, well, isn't that sin? Well, yeah, it is sin. But you know, you can want the right thing for the wrong reason. Your motive is simply wrong. What you want is not bad, but the way that you want it, the way that you want to go about it, that might be bad. We often want God to do what we want our way. And it may be that God wants to do what we're asking, but he has a completely different way that he wants to go about accomplishing it in our lives. And for our part, brother and sister, we are to submit to God on every level and in every way, not only for what he wants, but how he wants to do it. We really need to stop telling God, and I'm talking to myself as well as to everybody here this morning, I suspect. We really need to stop telling God what to do in our lives. God, I want you to do this, and I want you to do it this way. And God says, "We do. I got something else in mind for you, and I got a different way that I want to do it. If you'll just back off for a few minutes and let me do what I want to do, it'll work out for you." Flesh can get in the way. Our assumption of the way we think things ought to be. I was going to do it later. Let's just do it now. Look over at Matthew chapter 16 with me. Matthew chapter 16, there's a beautiful illustration here of the Apostle Peter hearing the voice of God. Matthew chapter 16. But here's an amazing thing. In Matthew chapter 16, he hears the voice of God. And we don't get a half a dozen verses later and we see the Apostle Peter hearing the voice of the enemy, or the voice of flesh, or the voice of human reason, him thinking things are supposed to be one way. And because, listen to this, because he thinks things ought to be a different way than what Jesus is talking about, the Apostle Peter will rebuke the Lord Jesus Christ. He hears God. And just a few verses later, he's going to hear a different voice. And that just, it speaks something to me. Hearing the voice of God is not going to come automatically. It's not going to come immediately. It's not going to come easily all the time. We have to always be making the choice to choose, to focus on the Spirit of the Lord. And God's way, God's will, God's time. Okay? All about the Lord. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Familiar passage of scripture probably. In Matthew chapter 16 verse 13. Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi and he asks his disciples, "So do the people say that the Son of Man is?" And of course he is the Son of Man. And they say, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And without missing a beat, Peter speaks up and says in that next verse, verse 16, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now look at what Jesus says to him in the next verse. Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Listen to what Jesus says to him. He says, "Peter, you are blessed because you have heard the voice of God." Okay? You've heard the voice of God. When I asked you who I am, you said you're the Christ, and you're right, and you have heard the voice of God. The Spirit of the Lord has spoken to your heart, Peter, and you have heard that voice. Now drop down to verse 21 with me. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day." Verse 22, Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen. In one moment, he says, Jesus, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. In the next moment, he says, Jesus, you're wrong. It's not going to happen the way you say, Jesus. You see, Peter had an idea in his mind, taught for many years, the theology of the Jews concerning who Messiah was and what he was going to do. And Messiah was going to come and he was going to deliver the Jews from Roman rule and reestablish the great kingdom of Israel in that day. And so they were looking for a natural, physical, literal king to come and save them from a literal kingdom, the kingdom of Rome. Okay? And Jesus came for a completely different thing. He didn't come to deliver Israel from Rome. He came to deliver the world from sin, from death, and from hell. But Peter's got this in his mind the way things ought to be. He's convinced that's the way it's going to be. So when Jesus says something else, he tells the Lord that he's wrong. The point is this, brother and sister, I want you to see how easily you can go from hearing God one moment to hearing the devil the next moment. Just how easy that is. And why we must always, listen, Jesus told him the way it was going to be. And Peter should have said, you know what, Lord? I've heard it was going to be different, but I choose to believe the way you say it's going to be. Instead, he said, Jesus, you're wrong. It just goes to show, brother and sister, how we have to be constantly diligent and focused on the Spirit of the Lord in order to be sure we are discerning properly His voice in our journey in this lifetime. You and I were created for fellowship with God. God wants to speak to us by His Spirit. Jesus tells us in those verses that we read in the beginning here, in John's gospel, He will be your teacher. The Holy Spirit will be your teacher. The Holy Spirit will remind you of everything that I said to you. The Holy Spirit will lead you into truth. He'll teach you truth. The Holy Spirit will teach you things that are to come. You understand what that means? The Holy Spirit wants to show you God's plan for your life. That's what He's telling us there. The Holy Spirit wants to do all this. But we've got to be sensitive enough to be able to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit when He speaks so that we know these things when they come about. He wants to lead us and guide us into an experiential walk and relationship that we might know Jesus and who He ultimately is and who He fully is and what His victory at the cross really means to us both now and for eternity. And we need the Holy Spirit to show us these things. We share it all the time. As believers who are looking forward to and anticipating a great eternity with God forever and ever in the new heavens and the new earth, and that's true and that's awesome, sometimes we're looking so forward to what's going to happen, we miss what God is wanting to do and to say in our lives today. And we wind up living far below what the Lord wants to give to us. Listen, God did not leave us on this planet to white-knuckle it until He finally comes back. He gave us His Spirit. He called Him His helper. He gives us His strength. He gives us His wisdom. He shows us and teaches us the ways of God so that we can live a better life, be a better witness, and have a life that glorifies God today, now, in the here and now. Paul tells us that. Let's read it again. We've seen it a couple of times already, but let's read it again from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We've got to have faith in the person of the Holy Spirit and in the work that God has ordained Him to do in our lives today. In this generation, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. What he's saying there is that the things of the Lord are not discerned with your physical senses, with your physical eyes, with your physical ears. That's not how you discern the things of the Lord. The way you discern the things of the Lord is by the Holy Spirit who dwells on the inside of you. For to us God revealed them. Things that eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, the Holy Spirit reveals. Okay? For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except even the thoughts of the man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now, verse 12, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. There are things that have been given to us, listen, the things, God himself, the things of God, these are not hidden from us, but they're hidden for us if we will search them out. That's why the Bible promises, if we seek, we will find. God has always been a speaking God. Throughout the Bible, God has been a speaking God. God spoke to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. After the fall of man, God spoke to Noah and said, I want you to build me a boat. After he spoke to Noah, he spoke to Abraham and he said, I want you to leave your land and your people and go to a place where I will take you. And on and on and on, God speaks. He speaks through the prophets. He speaks to Samuel. He speaks to David. He speaks to all the prophets. He speaks about the things that he wants for his people and for his children and for those individuals that he's speaking to. God has always been a speaking God. He speaks in the New Testament. Look at the book of Acts. The whole book of Acts, we not too long ago did a study on it. And we changed the name. I hope that's okay with you. We changed the name of the book of Acts. You do understand that the title in there is not written by God, right? Well, your Bible says book of Acts. God didn't write that. That was a translator or whoever who put it together. Book of Acts. Rather than saying the Acts of the Apostles, we changed the name to say the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Because as I understand the book of Acts, that is exactly what it is. It is the picture of the Holy Spirit working through the church to establish and move forward the kingdom of God in that first generation. And brother and sister, just as the Holy Spirit moved in the first century church to establish the kingdom and advance the kingdom in that generation, the Holy Spirit wants to move through the church of the 21st century in the same way, to advance the kingdom of God through the church of our generation. Many places in the book of Acts. Go ahead and be turning over to Acts chapter 13. While you're looking for the 13th chapter, I'll give you a couple of real quick examples. In Acts chapter 8, the Bible tells us about a deacon by the name of Philip who has a miracle crusade going on in Samaria. And God calls him away from there and says, go down to a desert road. There's one man down there that I want you to minister to. Philip goes down to this desert road. He sees an Ethiopian eunuch sitting in his chariot, just sitting there on the side of the road. He's got the scroll of Isaiah opened and he's reading it, but he doesn't understand anything that he reads. The Holy Spirit speaks to Philip and he says, go over to that man and witness to him and tell him about Jesus. And starting with that scroll of Isaiah, Philip began to witness to this Ethiopian eunuch and won that man to Christ. It was the Holy Spirit who led Philip to do that. It was the Holy Spirit who told Philip what to say. Do you understand, brother? And this is where we've really got to get to the place where we learn to trust and believe in the person of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says in Luke 12 and 12, Jesus says in that verse, he says, listen, don't worry about what you're to say when you come before great people and you're called to give an account or to give a testimony. He says, you just trust the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit will tell you exactly what you need to say in those times and in those seasons. And you and I have got to learn to listen and trust and have faith in the Holy Spirit so that when an opportunity comes, we know how to seize that opportunity and share the Lord with somebody. Becky, I guess, mentioned we had a family reunion out here yesterday. There's about 70 or 80 of us under the pavilion and in the backyard, and the most of them we hadn't seen in a long, long time. And we had opportunity, they called some of us the elders. It's because we're older than everybody else, all right? But we had opportunity as we were speaking and sharing some of our experiences over the years. We had opportunity to share just quickly and briefly about the Lord and the influences that family had had on us where the Lord was concerned, and coming to a greater understanding and faith in the Lord because of family members and these kinds of things. Just a very simple witness to Jesus Christ and how important it is that Jesus be the focus of our lives. And we need to recognize when an opportunity comes to seize the day, man, just take advantage of it and say something. Well, what if I mess it up? Listen, you can't mess it up. I promise you can't mess it up. Did you know? I've been messing up for 44 years, Sunday after Sunday, and you keep coming back. You really can't mess it up if you just try your best and say something. God can use it. If all you can say is Jesus loves you, God can use that. Listen, it's not you or me that's going to win anybody anyway. It's Jesus. So we need to be confident in the Holy Spirit and trust Him to help us as He helped Philip witness to that Ethiopian eunuch. The Holy Spirit told Peter in Acts chapter 10, I want you to go to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius is a Gentile. Jews and Gentiles despise each other. They hate each other. They don't like to get together. They don't like to look at each other. And he said, Peter, I want you to go with these three men and go over to the house of Cornelius and witness to Cornelius and his household. And Peter listened to the Holy Spirit. You got to understand, from Peter's perspective in those days, Peter's perspective is, these Gentiles are unclean, God, and I don't have any right going to see them, any business going to see them. I need to stay separated from these people. And God said, no, Peter, I want you to witness to them, because those people you count as unclean, I love them too. And I want them to know me too. And Peter obeys the Lord. He obeys the Holy Spirit. He goes to the house of Cornelius, shares Jesus with them, and wins Cornelius and all his household into the kingdom of God. Just because he wasn't afraid to be led by the Holy Spirit and do what the Holy Spirit wanted him to do. Look at Acts chapter 13. As I understand this passage of Scripture, starting in verse 1, this is sort of the ordination, if you will, of the apostle. He'll be the apostle Paul, and this is his ordination and sending into ministry. In verse 1, now there were in Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius the Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. I want to study that part of that verse out. You know, it just hit me. I don't know how many times I've read that verse of Scripture in 50 years. But look at that verse, at the end of that verse. This has nothing to do with my message today, but listen to it. Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Herod is the guy who had John the Baptist beheaded. Herod is the guy who questioned Jesus. This is the guy who grew up with him. Wonder what that childhood was like. Wonder what that relationship was like. Okay, back to the message. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. So here is the Apostle Paul beginning his first missionary journey and being led by the Holy Spirit as to when to go, as to where to go, and all of these things, trusting in the Holy Spirit of God to lead and direct him. Look at the 16th chapter real quick. One more example from Acts of the leading of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 16. This is actually the second missionary journey. And on the first missionary journey, they go into modern-day Turkey, sort of the center of it. You go to several cities there. They establish some churches. They win some people to the Lord. And then he goes back to Antioch and back to Jerusalem. Now he goes on a second missionary journey. And his intent is to go, and he's going to go visit all these churches, but he's got an idea of what he wants to do, an idea of where he wants to go. And listen, brother and sister, there's nothing wrong at all with making plans. As long as, you got to hear this, there's nothing wrong with making plans as long as you are willing to let God change them when he wants to. And I promise he probably will, because he does have a better way. Look at verses 6 and 7. As they begin their spiritual, they begin their second missionary journey, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region. This is where they had started. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. This would be over where Ephesus is, on the coast of modern day Turkey, out that way. The Holy Spirit wants, that's where they wanted to go. Now Paul will eventually get there, but not at this time, because God's got something else in mind. We've got to get over ourselves, brother and sister, and we've got to learn that God's ways are always better than our ways. And if we'll just let him lead, he'll accomplish great things in and through our lives. Verse 7, after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go to Bithynia. Here's another place they wanted to go, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came to Troas. So they're constantly refocusing. They're constantly resetting their track, if you will. They're constantly letting the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, brother and sister, is a first century GPS. Okay, we use GPS to get us where we want to go most of the time these days. Most of us would be dead lost if we had ever had to look at a paper map. We've got GPS, and we follow what the little lady on the radio tells us to get us to where we want to go. Global positioning system, GPS. Well, the Holy Spirit is an inborn GPS, God's positioning system. And he moves us where he wants us to go. Recalculate. You ever heard a woman tell you that? Recalculate. You made a wrong turn. And God's saying, recalculate, Paul. You want to go over here, but I got something better over here for you. You need to make a little change in your plan. You need to be willing to go a different direction. God is a speaking God, is my point to you this morning. And he wants to speak to us. He's not like the mute idols of the Old Testament, but he speaks. And he speaks to us in order to guide and lead our lives. That's why the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 33:3, God says, "Call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know anything about." It's why in Isaiah he says, "Come and let's reason together. Sit down and let's have some fellowship together. Sit down and let's talk things over together, you and me. We'll talk together," God tells us there. It's why in Isaiah 30 and verse 21, the scripture says there, "You will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it." That's the Holy Spirit whispering in our ear the direction that the Spirit of the Lord wants us to go. Listen, the Holy Spirit is a speaking God. God is a speaking God. And He wants to speak to us about the personal things of our lives, about the plans and the details that He has prepared for us as His children. Where you're going to live, what your career is going to be, where you're going to go to school, who you're going to marry, all of these things. You know, I've read the Bible a couple of times. I can't find my name in there anywhere, Angel. It's not in there. Because God's specific instructions for my life are not in that book. I've got general instructions in that book. But there are specific things that I need to hear from God. And I need to be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit so that when He speaks, I know that that's Him telling me what He wants me to do with my life and where He wants me to go with my life. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and let Him speak to us and lead and guide us, whether it's in a plan or a purpose, or whether it has to do with right and wrong in our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us in this way. I'll give you a quick example. Several years ago, I went over to Lynchburg General Hospital. Pastoral visit, somebody in the hospital over there. It's a beautiful day. Pull into the parking lot. It's a beautiful day, but the wind is blowing just 90 miles an hour out there. So I get out of the car. As I start to get out of the car, I go to open the door. And as I open the door, a gust of wind grabs that door, yanks it out of my hook, and the door slams up against the car next to me. You ever been there? And I did probably what all of you did when it happened to you too. I looked around to see if anybody noticed what had happened. And nobody was there. There wasn't anybody there. Nobody saw me ding the car that was next to me. But I knew I had a decision to make. There's right and wrong involved here. Okay? And I had a decision that I had to make. Are you going to let that guy know that you dinged his car? Or are you going to walk away and feel like you escaped and got off scot-free? And I knew, for two reasons, I knew that I had to put a note on that guy's windshield and let him know that I dinged his car. Number one, it's the right thing to do. Plain and simple, brother and sister. And that needs to be a guiding light for us as believers in Christ. Right and wrong. Integrity does the right thing even when there's nobody there watching, you see. And so just because it's the right thing to do, I knew I had to put a note on that car. The other reason that I knew I had to put a note on that car is because I knew if I didn't, the next time God wanted to speak to me, because of the sin in my life, it would probably be a little bit harder to hear from the Lord. And I don't know about you, I need the Holy Spirit. I need to hear from God. There's stuff in my life. I'll tell you another experience. Back in the fall of 1987, I'm a husband, I'm a father of three children, and I am unemployed. And I've got no income. And I have got to hear from the Spirit of God what God wants me to do with my life and what He's going to do with my life. And I'm desperate to hear from God. And as I'm praying and as I'm seeking the Lord about what to do in November of 87, I get an impression in my heart. I'll say it that way. I'm impressed upon my heart with three little words: Victory Christian Fellowship. And I knew immediately God wanted me to start a church. And so in February of 88, we started Victory Christian Fellowship over 40 years ago now, see. But it was in that season of desperation that I needed to hear God. And I promise you, you may think you're skating through life pretty good right now. And you don't really need to be bothered with this God thing and this Holy Spirit thing and hearing the voice of God and all of that. That's for, you know, some other time in life. How many of you understand that you need to prepare for some other time in life right now? right now. Those Olympic athletes that we watch, and we watch them for about 10 minutes on the diving board or on the racetrack or whatever, they've spent years and years and years preparing for that 10 minutes. See? And we have to prepare ourselves so that when the time comes, our heart is sensitive and we can recognize when it's the Holy Spirit who's speaking to us, what He's saying, and what truth He's trying to reveal to us. So next week, in fact, I'll give you the first one today. I want to share with you some tips, some things that we've learned over the years to help us to recognize, to help us discern, to help us to hear more clearly the voice of the Holy Spirit. Help us to tune in, okay? Because the Bible talks, and we'll see this next week, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit's voice as a still, small voice. And the things of life and the things of the world and the circumstances that we go through often scream so loudly, they drown out that still, small voice. And we need to know how to be able to tune in to that voice. Tune out all of the other static. Some of you are old enough to remember the old radios. Back when I first had a car, we're talking about our first cars last night. Back when I first had a car, my first car, the radios in the car back then, you didn't have push buttons to find the station. Oh, no. You had a dial that you had to turn, and you had to get that knob, and you had to get that little line right on exactly the channel, or you got bleed over, or you got static, or you got all this other kind of stuff coming in, and you had to get it just exactly right. You had to tune in just exactly right in order to get that channel to listen to the music as you want to do, see? Well, brother and sister, we have to learn to tune in to the voice of the Holy Spirit so that we can hear what He's trying to communicate to us in our journey through life. So, first one, let me show you just real quickly. Look at Proverbs, it'll be probably our last verse today. Proverbs chapter 20. And verse 12. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 12. And it says this: the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. The hearing ear, the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Now, why do you suppose the Lord made both of those things? So we can see and so we can hear, all right? It's pretty simple, isn't it? But obviously now we're not talking about just natural eyesight and natural ear hearing. We're talking about something spiritual here. We're talking about being able to discern things spiritually. And God has given us spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear to help us to discern His voice and His truth and His plan when He goes to reveal those things to us. We have spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. That's why several times in the Gospels and particularly in the book of the Revelation, Jesus will say on several occasions, "Let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." Okay? Remember those verses? Let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I see two things, real quickly, two things out of those verses. Let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Number one, I see the need for the ability to hear the Lord, the desire to hear the Lord, and the will to hear the Lord, okay? It's one thing to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. It's something else to be willing to obey the voice of the Spirit of God. We need to have a sensitivity so that We not only hear that voice and recognize that voice, but we need to have a desire so that when we hear it, we are willing to do what he says to do. And I want to share this with you, just real quick in closing today. I guarantee you that for all of us, there are a lot of things that the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us that we don't want to hear. That we don't want to hear. The Holy Spirit may be saying to you, why are you using that kind of language? The Holy Spirit may say to you, why are you being so mean and so hateful? The Holy Spirit may say to you, why are you seeing that movie? I had a friend of mine some years ago who was teaching on this very topic and talking about the ways that the Holy Spirit speaks and the Lord reveals things. And after church, he comes and he's going out the door, and he says, you know, the Holy Spirit speaks to me a whole lot of times when I'm at the movie theater. And I said, oh, really, he does? What does he say to you? Usually, he said, usually the Holy Spirit says, what are you doing in here? It's one of those things we don't want to hear, you know. Yeah. Why are you on that website? Lots of things that the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we don't want to hear. But again, brother and sister, if we don't listen when the Holy Spirit speaks, then that sensitivity that we need to hear and discern the Holy Spirit, that sensitivity begins to wane as our heart grows colder and harder and less sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of the Lord. So the first thing that you and I need in order to ensure ourselves that we're learning to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and we're discerning the voice of the Holy Spirit, we need a humble heart that is willing to be repentant when the Lord speaks. That's the first thing. That's the first key to recognizing and discerning the voice of the Holy Spirit. A sensitive heart, listen, a sensitive heart that always says, yes, Lord. Father, I pray you give us that heart today. You promised in the Word, Father, to take out our old heart and give us a new one. To pour out your Spirit and change us from within. And I pray, Father, today that you would give to every one of us a humble heart and a heart that is willing to say, yes, Lord, whatever it is the Holy Spirit may ask us to do. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.